May only the truth be spoken and only the truth be heard. In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sanctifier. Amen. We recently celebrated the life of Sheila Connell. It was my 365th funeral. So it got me thinking, with a year's worth of celebrating people's lives, I got to thinking of all of those funerals, about how I have always tried to do three things. Comfort those who were grieving with compassion. Honor those who have died with truth and sincerity. And to give everyone present hope. Hope in new life with all the faith and integrity that I can muster. There is a prayer at the beginning of the funeral liturgy that has helped me to do that for 25 years. It goes like this. God of all consolation, in your unending love and mercy, you turn the darkness of death into the dawn of new life. Show compassion to your people in their sorrow. Be our refuge and our strength to lift us from the darkness of grief to the peace and light of your presence. Now, for those who believe, for us who believe, those words are very meaningful. For those who have faith that there is a God, that in Jesus, God came to be the light of the world, and that he is the light that even the darkness cannot extinguish. For us, that prayer is comforting. But so many of those 365 funerals were filled with people who didn't know what they believed or what to believe. So how was I to help them to be lifted from the darkness of grief to the peace and light of God's presence? It's not like there's a course where they teach that in seminary, you know. So at all those funerals, especially the ones where I knew that the darkness was deep, that seeing the light would be a challenge for those people, this is how I tried to give comfort. This is what I would do. Either I was taller or the Paschal candle was shorter at all those 365 funerals. I would light a single candle from the Paschal candle, and then I would say words very similar to these. This is how it begins. It's how all things began. In the beginning, there was nothing. And God said, "Let there be light." And all of this, everything, came into being. We were like that too. We began as nothing but a spark, conceived in the hearts of our parents, kindled by their love, and brought into this world with the hope that we would be light. and shine in the world's darkness and in each life we touch. And when we live lives of compassion and mercy, then the warmth and radiance of who we were lives on in the world and in the lives of those we loved, even though the light of our life has faded. I say those words, and then I ask them to come forward and light a candle to give expression to that sentiment, that a light has faded, but that the warmth and radiance of that person's life lives on. I speak those words, especially to those whose faith is uncertain or undefined, because they are in darkness, looking for any sign that the light will come. Today, we celebrate the presentation of the Lord in the temple, the day when Jesus is proclaimed as the light, not just to the people of Israel, but to the whole world. It's the day when we present ourselves to God through this tiny, frail, fragile thing, this symbol of a candle, as a sign that the light of the world has come to us, and that it is a light that no darkness can extinguish. But we also come, like Mary and Joseph, with the hope that through what we offer of ourselves to each other, to the world, that we might be light, that those whose lives we touch might feel the warmth and radiance of God's power working in us. And to understand what we are offering, we need to go a little deeper into this drama of St. Luke's. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple to fulfill the law of Moses, that every firstborn son had to be dedicated to God's service. It was this ancient, rich custom that pointed first to the sacrifice Abraham offered of Isaac, but more importantly, for the Israelites, it recalled the fulfillment of God's promise to save them from slavery and death at the hands of the Egyptians. So when Mary and Joseph brought Jesus to the temple 40 days after his birth, like countless parents before them, they would have remembered the Passover. That night where their fate as the people of God hung just by the thread of God's promise. The promise that the death of the firstborn would literally pass over them. It was the night when their deliverance as the people of God would begin. So Mary and Joseph, like all of God's faithful people, would bring their firstborn as an offering to God 40 days after the child's birth, one day for every year that their people wandered in the wilderness before coming to the promised land. This was their gesture of thanksgiving and their sacrifice to remember that God had remained faithful to her promise. And as we enter the temple with them today, with the Holy Family, we meet Simeon and Anna, who represent the hope that God will continue to remain faithful to God's promise. The hope that God will come again and again to save them from darkness, from oppression, from being a conquered people by sending them the Messiah. But Simeon and Anna also represent our waiting, our hope that God will come again and again and dispel the darkness in the world and in our lives. Because as we make our pilgrimage of faith, it can seem so often that the light of God's presence has grown dim. Sometimes the darkness is so vast that it fills the canvas of the world. Like right now, when the palette is covered with racism, war, injustice, recession, oppression, climate disaster, and pandemic. Darkness that seems so vast that we do not even know how to confront it. Sometimes the darkness is small and shared only by a few, but its depth overwhelms us. Like when someone we love dies, or when we know that the end is near. So we come to the temple, bringing all the darkness of the world and of our lives so that we may be touched by the light of Christ. And by being present to one another, by being warmth and radiance to one another, to experience the presence of the living God and have our hope and faith rekindled. Like Simeon and Anna, we come to give our lives over to God in hope and faith that God always remains faithful to her promises, bringing us peace and light. Speaking again of funerals, there is this other ritual that I have performed at every funeral I've ever presided over. It comes from this gospel. After the service has ended, usually at the funeral coach, or when I have a moment where I'm alone, I put my hand on the casket or the urn, and in a quiet voice, I sing these words. Lord, now let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. Usually no one hears it or sees it, because I want that ritual to be between myself, the person who has died, and God. In that gesture, I'm giving thanks for the person whose life I've just celebrated. And I'm praying in hopes that they saw light in their own darkness, that they have fulfilled God's purpose for their life, that God's word was fulfilled in them, and that they may now go in peace. And in that gesture, I'm also offering what I've just done, in hopes that I made that person's celebration beautiful and meaningful, and that the people who loved them saw the light too. It's the same for all of us. We have come to the temple this day. All of us will offer ourselves in some small way. We will hope and pray that we and those we love will see the light. And when we go in peace from this place, it is so that God's word may be fulfilled in us. Amen.